Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me is Joe Hill. And Joe Hill is running a couple of businesses. One is a flooring business and the other one is a fitness business. And I've known Joe since about 2008 when we met at my very first property I purchased. Joe came in and gave me a flooring estimate and we've been working with each other ever since. So and now Joe has expanded from the flooring business to now a fitness business. He runs both of them at the same time. So I'll let Joe kind of take it from there and talk. Welcome, Joe. Appreciate you coming onto the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Todd, for having me. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your years of support in my flooring business. I really do appreciate that. So, as Todd mentioned, I do own two businesses. And they differ, and hopefully maybe I can shed some light for some of your viewers here today on those differences if they are thinking about starting up a small business, whether they want to be the sole owner and run it all on their own, or if they'd like to look at a franchise, depending on what their, you know, what their goals are. Obviously, I have experience with both. The franchise is new to me. I've been doing that for 3 years, and the flooring business I've been in for 25 years now. That kind of dates me. I moved here when I was 19 years old, so I'm 44 now. Kind of back and forth most of my life between Florida here or Florida and then here in Minnesota. Started out working for my father in the flooring trade, which is kind of our family business. My father owns a large flooring company. My uncle was in the flooring business. My cousin is in the flooring business, and my brother is in the flooring business. So we've got your floors covered. But, after working with him for several years, I realized that if I wanted to make any money and set myself up for success, that I would need to be my own my own business as well. And I would encourage everybody to do that. A couple things, though. I mean, before you jump into that, you need to know that it's going to be hard work, as you well know. I know that when you made the jump into what you've got going on with your properties and real estate, you're in for a lot of work, but you put in the time and that's how come you're successful. And that won't matter if it's a business on your own or it's a franchise. You still have to work hard to be successful in either one. So that's definitely one of the similarities right off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The fitness industry I got into a few years ago. It was about 5 years ago. I'd really gotten out of shape. I was an active martial artist at the time, but believe it or not, martial artists get out of shape as well. And I was only doing that like one or two nights a week. So I had the normal 40-year-old body on me with a pot belly and all that. My daughter had some encouragement between her and my wife, and everybody got me to go to the gym and get myself back in shape. So I did that, fell in love with the program.
You had the dad bod.
Yeah, that's right. The dad bod. Yeah, I should have, I loved it. After getting in shape, I wanted to know more about the business. It was very intriguing to me. I looked around. I saw a lot of members at this, at this facility. And I thought, well, geez, these guys must be doing all right here. They're doing something right. And quite frankly, I really wanted to get myself diversified in other businesses. I didn't want to have all my eggs in one basket with the flooring trade. So I went ahead and made the move. And luckily, my wife and I were in a position. I had saved up some money, and we were able to add that business as well. And that one is a franchise. So definitely a different experience than owning a business on your own.
So what's the name of the business, Joe?
My flooring business is Flawless Floors.
Okay.
And my gym is called Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping. There's about 68 locations, I believe 68 locations nationwide. They're always adding, so that number could change by the time this gets aired, but 68 nationwide. We have 16 here in the Twin Cities, and I own one location. So when I first bought in, we bought in with partners, so it was my wife and I and another couple, okay. And we purchased it together, and we owned a gym in the location of New Hope, Minnesota. And we owned that for about a year, and our original goal was to expand and open several. We really love the program. We just saw it as a great revenue resource, for one. And then plus it's something that I'm passionate about now. So I really, really love it. So we wanted to expand, but there was other locations kind of popping up close to us. So we decided, you know what, we're going to need to move south where there aren't any and open up some more. So that's what we did. We moved. My wife got a new job. She moved from Caterpillar to 3M. And then we bought a house here in Inver Grove, and we own a gym now in Eagan. And then since then, we bought our partners out as well. So now we are the sole owners of Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping in Eagan.
Okay. So for those who don't know those cities, it's just the different sides of Minneapolis, basically Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Right. Correct.
So you guys had a partner in the franchise.
Correct.
And now you are sole owners in your franchise.
Yep. Correct.
Okay. Cool. So how long have you been owner in this franchise?
So we opened our first one 3 years ago. And then this location now here, it's our anniversary month here. So October, next month, I guess, will be our anniversary. So we'll be here 2 years. Okay. And, this one is a little bit bigger square footage wise, a little bit, the demographics here are a little bit different, structured a little bit differently. We have, more people. So
why did you buy... Why did you start with a partner, and why did you decide then to go out on your own?
Oh, fantastic question. The main reason we ended up with a partner, it was kind of a lucky thing for us, actually. They had owned a location in Andover and previously in Blaine, and so they had the experience. They had heard we wanted to open one, and Brian, who was my business partner and still a very good friend of mine, he asked, he says, well, we heard you were thinking about opening one. Would you like partners? And even though I had experience in business, I thought, well, what better partner to have than someone who has experience in this business specifically? So that was the biggest reason. Financial was another reason. Going out and getting a small business loan is like running a three-ring circus and lighting your hair on fire and jumping through a lot of hoops. So we realized that it was nice to have a partner where we didn't have quite as much invested until we could see that it was going to be successful. And then when we bought them out, once we sold our other location, it made sense. They ended up farther away from this location. And for them, Brian had done some things at work and gotten some promotions there. And he just decided, he had very limited time to dedicate to the business. And like we were talking about earlier with hard work, it takes time and dedication. And he was running short on those things at that time. So we decided that it was a good time to buy them out. And it was very amicable. We're very good friends with them. And it was best for both worlds. They have some young kids that are involved in sports, and they have a lot of time that they need to invest in that as well.
Okay. So you were able to buy them out amicably, which is nice.
Yeah. Yes. Very nice.
How did that setup then look like? Did you guys have contracts together? Was it just more of a handshake? How was that?
Yeah, this was, what I would suggest, and luckily for us, very luckily for us, we did, we had just such a good relationship with them. We were able to work it out as it went along. But I can tell you that I've seen other things that are similar where people really need to have it. You plan your divorce before you plan your marriage as far as business goes. Have it all in writing, what you're going to do and how you're going to make that split, whether it's going to be a percentage, and talk about those things ahead of time. what's going to happen if you are like a couple in a couple, what happens if someone in that family gets divorced or someone dies? You need to have all those things laid out. And if I was to ever partner again, I would have those laid out. Not because this wasn't successful, because it was very successful, but after going through it and watching other people go through bad experiences is what led me to believe that I would definitely have that in place in the future.
Cool. Yeah. I think, you know, you never plan on, like you said, divorcing your business partner.
Right.
But stuff happens. People's interests go different ways. People get promotions and or decide to do something different. So interest can change. So yeah, definitely having things in writing is great. And it's good that it worked out for you guys, obviously, and being, you know, friends helps, but you just never know.
So, well, and you know, we were fortunate. It was a short-term partnership, so there wasn't a lot of time for things to go crazy. We were only partnered for a year in our New Hope location and only about 6 months in our new location. And then obviously the build outs in between and beforehand. So really we only had to deal with them as partners for about 2 years. So it doesn't allow for a lot of time, lot of time for things to get messy. But I know with longer partnerships, some of those things can happen. And I've seen it even in the gym world, not necessarily with Farrell's, but other gyms. I've heard horror stories about. I shouldn't name competitors' names though, so I won't.
Well, and I think the more money that's made, the more money that's thrown around, the more, you know, one owner starts doing more work than the other owner, all that kind of stuff, the harder it just becomes, because nobody feels like they're being treated fairly, especially when one person's working harder than the other or putting more money into it or whatever it may be. So
well, kind of goes back to my thing, like a marriage. If you do partner with somebody, I feel like there's a couple ground rules you have to have. A, you need to be willing to talk out any and all problems and meet them head on. That's a number one rule. And my wife and I actually have that in our marriage. We don't let anything sit unspoken. And so if it's something as simple as I didn't do the dishes today, I'd rather her tell me than let that build up. We talk about those things, meet them head on. And then the next thing is if you're going to be successful business partner or in marriage, you honestly need to feel like you're giving 120% of that all the time. Cause if you're not, then you're probably not giving 50. So, those are probably my best words of advice on that.
Oh, that's fantastic actually. Yeah. If you're not fully committed, you're letting the other person down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you mentioned, so you've got two businesses right now and one of them is your own and the other one's the franchise, which is still your own, but it's franchised. Tell us then the difference. We talked before the show, but tell us the difference between the two, and is there one you prefer over the other?
Yeah. Great questions. So, I would say the difference is this. If you own your own business, I guess a great analogy would be like you're going to run a garage sale at your house, right? Anything can go at any price. You can work and negotiate anything you want. Running a franchise is more like working at Walmart and or some maybe a more luxurious store. I don't care where you say somewhere where you can't do all those things. You don't have those freedoms. So along with a franchise comes some rules and regulations. They're going to tell you how to paint your location, whether it's, say, even if it's the food industry. Say, let's go with McDonald's, one of the most successful franchises of all time, right? Or we could go with Caribou Coffee or whatever. But they're going to tell you how to paint. They're going to tell you the decor to use. They're going to lay out the menu. They're going to lay everything out from A to Z. Now, if you've never been involved in a business ever before, that is, it's a really nice way to get transitioned into owning a business for yourself for a lot of reasons, but just that they have a recipe for success and you're going to follow it. Now part of that recipe for success obviously includes hard work. You have to put that in, no matter what. Another thing that, people don't realize, or a lot of people don't realize, I know I didn't realize, not only are you in a group with a franchise, but a lot of franchises will have a owner's group. So like here in the Twin Cities, we have Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping. That's a franchise. We have rules and obligations that we have to live by for that franchise. Now, in addition to that, we have an owner's group. Once there was 10 gyms, I believe that was the rules. Once there was 10 gyms and six locations wanted to have an owner's group, there was automatically an owner's group. And once 60% of those people vote, everybody has to comply or you are out of agreement with your main franchise. Are you able to follow that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
So if you're going to run a promotion, a local promotion even, not even something within the franchise, even a franchise okays it, it has to be approved by that that owner's group as well, which it makes everything comparable so that my location, you know, and another location that's 12 miles away, we don't have different pricing.
Yeah.
We're not offering different packages.
Yeah, so, you're not allowed to run a special.
And undercut them
without them knowing.
Right. So that would be one of the big differences is the rules. Like I said before, they're going to lay everything out for you. Well, that's really nice. It's nice to have that recipe for success. Now, an additional thing that you would have to consider is that you're going to have a franchise fee. That can run anywhere from, I mean, I've seen places that run that anywhere as low as 5% up to, you know, I mean, the number can be pretty high, 15% for some franchises. So, and then you have your original franchise fee. Again, prices go all over the place. I've seen them as low as $20,000 for a franchise fee. And if you're not familiar, if your viewers aren't familiar with what a franchise fee is, that is the original fee paid just to start that name. And then you have an ongoing fee of your gross income. That is your monthly, most places do it monthly, franchise fee. So that's in addition to your original fee. So those are some of the costs that are involved with owning a franchise, but they will help you. A lot of them will help you find a location as well. They will work with realtors to help you get a good location as well. So those are some of the pros in that. Now, owning on your own side, you can do it your way. You can get a lease that's less expensive in a maybe a more affordable place that's not as quote-unquote customer desirable, you know, like a warehouse space. For my flooring business, I have a warehouse space, very low overhead. My gym, I'm in a strip mall. That's part of the franchise thing. My rent is $10,000 a month. So, quite a difference between what I pay for warehouse space at $1,000 a month for almost the same amount of square footage. So you can understand there's some definite differences there. One of the other things that I would say is, in your own business, you're going to have to for sure have, and maybe it's part of the different businesses that I do. In the flooring business, I have to have a large amount set aside for working capital. Sure. So as you grow with that business, your working capital increases. I sell a big job. The supplies alone, maybe $20,000. I need to have that money readily available or that credit available to me to do that job. And then, like I say, in the franchise, depending again on which business you do, I have plenty of money coming in, but a lot going out too. So, those are balancing acts for me. And those are some of the main differences, I see between sole ownership and a franchise.
So which one do you like better and why?
Okay.
And which one do you feel is more profitable and why? Just answer the first one first.
Yeah. So which one do I like better and why? Yeah. I would say at this point I enjoy the gym a little bit more. And the big reason why, so it's a kickboxing gym, and like I had mentioned before, I'm a martial artist and I love that aspect of it. So I've never had any addiction in my life, so except for hunting and this, watching people change. So no bad addictions, which is really good. I've never tried a cigarette. I'm not a drinker. I'm not a smoker. I'm none of that. So, But it is an addicting thing for me to watch these people's bodies transform. We have members that lose, a ton of weight with us, but everybody is getting healthier. So that has become my addiction. So I would say that's my favorite, and that is why. As far as profitability, I think there's a difference there. And the biggest thing is that one is more established, right? So when I have my flooring business, I do one of two things. I either, typically what I do is I get a job in. I have a lot of guys that subcontract to me. I take that job. I measure that job. I bill that job. I, bid that job. I do it from A to Z. And then I sub out the installation part. Or I go out and I do the installation, depending if I can't find anybody available to do it and I've sold the job, I'm responsible for that job to get done. Mm-hmm. So you will still see me out installing once in a while. I try not to do it too much at 44 years old here, but that does happen from time to time. So there is a fair amount of profit involved in there. Like I mentioned, low overhead. Really it's, there's definitely more profit in there, but it's more established. The gym, we sold our first one. So we're just hitting our 2-year mark, at our new location, and with buying our partners out, our profits are basically going, or not all of our profits. I should take that back. A lot of our profits are going to finish paying them off. We've got about a year left and then they will be completely bought out. We did not pay them a one lump sum. We created a payment plan with them instead of having to take out a loan and decided to buy them out that way.
Okay. Do you see that franchise being a franchise that basically, are you ever going to focus on one or the other? Do you like having the multiple businesses?
Right. I do. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I do tend to like to have my, a few things going at once. I would like to actually own another location or two for the gym. I see myself definitely at least phasing out of the installation part of the flooring. I want to get to a point here where I'm not doing that at all anymore. And that really falls on just finding more guys to install for me. Really, that's what that boils down to. But I do plan on opening more locations. And funny enough that you bring it up, I'm thinking about diving into real estate a little bit as well. So to get on, not that I'm not busy enough, why not add something else in? But one of the things that I would say with the real estate, I know you're involved in real estate and investing in real estate, is my grandfather unfortunately passed away about 9-10 months ago here, but he was one of the biggest, thank you very much. One of the biggest influences in my life, very successful businessman. I wish you could have met him. He would have been fantastic on the show because he is extremely entertaining and has a lot to tell about living in a hole in the ground to building himself into what he became, which was pretty amazing. He was a realtor, sold and bought oil wells, was a stock trader, very successful businessman. And he told me a couple things in life. And I wish I would have listened to both of those things. The first thing he told me is save half of every penny you ever make. And he told me that when I was very young. So all I could imagine was taking a penny and cutting it in half. And I was like, I don't know where I'm going to come up with something to cut this penny in half. But I really wish I would have listened to him because that was fantastic advice. Now he grew up and lived through the Depression. So my grandfather was 93 years old when he passed away. So he lived a long, healthy and prosperous life, but very, very wise and really took care of his money. He was never a wasteful type of a person in any way. The next thing he told me is invest in real estate. In case you haven't noticed, they're not making any more. And I wish I would have done that sooner, but I'm looking at this point in my life to maybe look at that as another thing in the future here. So I plan on staying diversified.
Well, and I think that's good. And for one, it plays to your energy and your personality. Because, some people really need to focus on one thing and just do that only. And that's going to make them successful. I think for you and your personality, having multiple streams, doing the two businesses, adding maybe real estate to it, you know, is probably the best thing for you and your personality. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
You're not the one to sit around. At least
my friends and family always laugh when they hear that my main hunt, my hobby is hunting, and they go, well, how do you sit still in a tree for 2 minutes? But I somehow managed to do that. But the gym is a fantastic outlet for my, as you would say, personality. They say I kind of run around. I get to instruct kickboxing classes. So kind of like a drill sergeant in the military, if you can imagine that, in a positive way though. But kind of running around with my hair on fire. That's why it's gone, I guess.
I was going to say, you don't have any hair. Cool. Well, that's fantastic. Very interesting. So what do you think would be one of the biggest mistakes you've made so far, whether it's with your franchise business or your old business or just kind of in general in business or finances?
Yeah, I would say, really the biggest thing was, and it would really relate back to when I was younger and when I was first getting involved in business. When I was younger, I didn't really take care of my money as well as I should have. If I had one thing to change, it would be to go back and earn credit faster and better. That would have been probably the number one thing that I would say, if I could change it, I would. I hope that kind of answers the question, but otherwise it would be doing what my grandfather said, as far as maybe investing in real estate as well, or diversifying even earlier would have been something that I would say. To break down that point further, I guess maybe let me even break that into a separate piece. Looking at my flooring business, I guess all I can say is all of that is I wish I would have done that sooner, gone into business for myself sooner instead of working for my father. Although those were fun times. It was fun to work with my dad when I was younger. It was a good time. And as he got busier and I wanted to make more money, then, you know, it was a change there. But if I would have made that jump a little sooner, I would have loved to do that. And as far as the franchise goes, really the biggest thing I would change there is I would have liked to start with a second location. You know, I would have liked to own multiple locations right off the bat. Just because you're diversifying and, you know, spreading that money out a little bit, but I like that because then you have different, if your flooring business is slow, your gym is doing all right, or vice versa. I mean, you have different places to pull that money in from, which I think is really important. So you don't have all your eggs in one basket. I hate feeling like that, or I'm painted into a corner. I want to have a lot of revenue sources.
So what's Joe's businesses? What are they going to be in, 10, 15 years?
Well, hopefully still running a gym or more. I'd like, by that time, I sure hope I have three of them running. That would be my goal, is to have three locations running. I'd like to spread south of here, where we are now. Flooring business, I kind of hope that I'm at the tail end of that by 10 years. Whether it's strictly selling, or else selling that business outright. That's a younger man's game. It was a lot of fun. I've had a great time doing it, but I hope in 10 years that one is sold off. And then looking forward to the future, investing in some real estate. So we'll have to talk.
I can tell you, I've done plenty of construction, and crouched down like that or crawling around on your knees. Yeah. Like you said, it's a young man's game. I do it now, and I can't stand up for 5 minutes. I just, got to do the long stretch, and it's a younger man's game. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm definitely hoping to see myself on the other side of that.
So give our listeners a tip, on, how do you get started?
Yeah. Well, if you're looking to do a franchise, here there's a couple things you can do. There's several books out there. I should have noted some of the books we read, but we did read some books coming up. I apologize for not doing that. Maybe I'll send you an email and you can include that in your podcast, what the books were. My wife would know. But Do some research on what it is to be to own a franchise. Just the basic differences, and look into some good ones, and do research on that. But if you are looking to own a small business and you don't know where to begin, that's a great plan for one. And you obviously have to have some money to invest, or have excellent credit in a strong franchise so that you can get those loans. But that'd probably be my number one tip, is definitely do your research, do your homework in anything you do. If you're looking to own one on your own, you know, take something that you have knowledge about and that you're passionate about. That's the best thing, is follow your passion. If you have one, reach for that. You're going to succeed, you know, because you're doing something that you love. And that's why, you know, I fell in love with the gym thing. The other one was just, you know, inherently, I mean, my father, flooring business, and I did, I loved it. I grew up around it, and we had a lot of good times. You know, even as a kid, being around the other installers and stuff like that, I really enjoyed that atmosphere. It's a lot of good friends. And so that just kind of grew inherently. But if you wanted to get into that, you know, if you have a passion, you could certainly do it on your own. It doesn't have to be a franchise, but, take that leap, take it sooner than later, because time is always fleeting. And, I guess that would be my number one tip. Just do it. If you're thinking about it, do it.
Yeah, fantastic. And like you did with your franchise, you wanted to do it, but you partnered with somebody, and that's how you got started. And there's always a way to get started. I mean, you mentioned it takes money, but
yeah,
you know, it does, but it could be somebody else's money, right? And it could be partnering, so you have less money involved with it. So yeah, it takes money, but it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be your money. So
that's correct. Leveraging other people's money is a fantastic idea. And my dad always used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. In any business, problem solving has got to be a strong suit. The only other thing I'll say, I do want to add this, because this is one of the biggest things in both my businesses: networking. That'd be the last tip before I leave you. Network with anybody and everybody. It has to be genuine, though. If you love going to church, network with the people at church. If you love hunting and you're in a, you know, in a sporting goods store and, you know, local shop, start communicating with those people. Network is king. I mean, I know a lot of people, so I get a lot of carpet business. I know a lot of people, that social media aspect, they came and tried out my gym, and then spread the word even further. So networking is awesome.
So Joe, I agree with that, but how do you go out and network? If you're, let's say you're kind of a more of an introverted, or just don't know. I mean, where do you go? Well, how do you?
Yeah,
do it?
I would say find a passion that you have. Whether it's, you know, a lot of people really enjoy going to church. If you're at church, don't be shy. You know, when you do that greeting on Sunday morning, and say hello to your neighbor, talk to them afterwards too. Hey, you know, get involved, or your kids maybe play sports. Get to know those parents. But it has to be genuine. It can't be fake. People see through it. You have to be legitimately, personally interested in those people to get to know them. And if you're not, it's going to be, it'll definitely be a tougher road. But if you can just take that time to get to know some people, that goes a long way in the business world. It really and truly does.
Yeah. If you're not, like you said, be genuine, and you can't be just pitching your business everywhere you go.
No.
I mean, mentioning, you know, when the conversation comes up, oh, what do you do? Mm-hmm. That's the time to mention your business, not just, right, you know, talking about you right away. You talk about them, obviously.
Correct.
So, yeah, fantastic advice. Love the story. I appreciate you coming on to our show. Any last words that you want to tell us?
No, I really just appreciate you having me on. It was great chatting with you, and I'll have to bend your ear on the real estate side of things sometime when you get a chance.
Anytime. So Joe, how do people reach you if they want some flooring?
Yeah. You can get, well, I guess the best way to reach me is, I don't know if you best way to give out my business cell phone number. Is that
it? That's up to you. If you want to give the cell phone number, if you want to give email address or web page.
And you're looking for flooring, you can look me up, Flawless Floors. Otherwise, my franchise is much easier. My gym location, that's much easier. Joe Hill at extremebodyshaping.com. And I can take care of all your questions on the gym side of things there.
Joe, is there a web page that specifically goes to your gym, or does it go just to the whole?
It actually goes to the whole thing, but then you can select a location.
And you can select a location.
And
where was your location again?
Egan, Minnesota.
In Egan. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if anybody's in the South Metro, they can look you up, look your gym up, and get hooked up with you in your gym.
Okay. Yep. We're also on Facebook as well.
Okay. So they can look up Joe Hill.
If you typed in Joe Hill, Extreme Body Shaping,
Body Shaping.
Yep, correct.
Okay. Well, I'll put all that in the show notes so people can get a hold of you, get some carpet done, and then go work out afterwards.
Hey, thanks so much, Todd. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Thanks, Joe. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Hey, that was a great show. I want to give a special thanks to Joe Hill for taking time out of his day to spend with us. I always have a blast talking with Joe. He's a high energy, high octane guy. He is constantly on the move. For any of you who know Joe, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The guy never sits still. The guy ceases. He never stops. He just always amazes me at how much energy he brings. So I appreciate him coming to the show. So a couple of actionable steps I really took from Joe. One, he talked about the value of communicating when you're going to be partnering with somebody and having that open line of communication, being able to set it up, especially before you get into a partnership. What does it look like before you get into that marriage? What does it look like? How do you get out of that partnership from start to finish? And I was actually just at a meeting the other day, and the presenter was an attorney, and he talked about partnerships and setting up partnerships and making sure you have an exit strategy, because you never plan on, I should say you never, but typically you don't plan on splitting up with the partner. But what happens when you do and you didn't set it up? And that's when you get in trouble. And I know out of personal experience, I had a partnership for years, and we decided to go separate ways. And we didn't have anything in writing on that partnership. How do we split it up? So it was very challenging. It was very time consuming. It was a lot of stress for both of us to figure out what the fair settlement was. And we didn't, luckily we were able to work it out without attorneys, without really getting too messy, but it was a lot of stress. And there was a lot of uncertainty, and both of us felt at times like the other person was, taking advantage of the other. And so it was difficult. I definitely will say that. And had we had something in writing, I think that would have saved us a lot of headache, a lot of hassle. And so now always leveler heads prevail. And so hopefully if you don't have something in writing and you do split up, you can work it out. But if you have a partnership going right now and you don't have that exit strategy in place, I would suggest stopping right now and figuring out, what does that look like? Let's figure it out now before we do get to that point. If you're thinking about getting in a partnership, please, please just don't shake hands and say, we're never going to split up. I just know it. You and I can figure it out if we split. No, go and figure out that communication right now. How does that look? So I think that was fantastic advice. Number two, save half of every penny that you earn. And I think that's fantastic advice, especially those who are younger, where you can save half or more than half of what you earn. Anybody that's listening that's in college or just outside of college and you don't have a family, you don't have kids yet, you should be saving every single last dollar that you can save. You should be putting that away, putting that into investments, trying to compound that money. You should be doing that right now without spending. Now is the time not to be in a high luxury apartment building. Now is not the time to go out and buy a bunch of new toys. Now is the time to be saving and making sure you're setting yourself up for the future. So save half of every penny. I think that was fantastic advice. Maybe you don't need to save quite that much, but you need to save every single penny that you can, especially when you're young, to be able to reinvest that and to be able to create true wealth for yourself. I talked to so many people that are in their 40s and 50s and beyond that regret not saving when they're in their 20s and 30s. They regret not investing in real estate or in anything when they're in their 20s and 30s. And you're young when you're 20 and 30. You think that you have a ton of time. You think, you know, it's going to be forever until you turn 30, 40, and 50. And believe it or not, it goes really quick. And anybody who's 30, 40, or 50 knows what I'm talking about. So just please save as much as you can. I think that's fantastic advice. So the next thing is networking. And Joe hit that right on the head. Networking, and more than just networking, networking with a genuine purpose, making sure you're not just looking out just for yourself. You hopefully can provide value to the people you're networking with, potentially a nice friendship, potentially a business relationship. But to me, when you network, I don't like the idea of networking with the idea of trying to gain business from people. I like the idea of networking just to get to know people, just to connect with people. And I think that's powerful, because if you can just go in genuinely, it's hard for me to say, with the purpose of just connecting with people, the purpose of that you want to genuinely be interested in what other people are doing and saying and have their advice and all that kind of stuff, then you're going to, I think, gain a lot more than going into a networking event or anything, talking with somebody thinking that they're going to provide you with income. They're going to provide you with wealth. They're going to be that person that's going to get you to where you need to go. And so I think, again, being genuine when you network, like Joe said, is really, really important. Networking when you're at church, networking when you're at kids' sporting events, networking really anywhere that you go can be very valuable for you into the future. So your network is your net worth, and I think that's valuable. I mean, I don't 100% agree with that, but the people that you spend time with is extremely important. You want people that lift you up. You want people that challenge you. You want people that support you. And if you're being dragged down by people that don't challenge you, that don't support you, that just complain with, you know, anytime you talk to them, they're complaining about something and you're the one lifting them up all the time. Those are people that unfortunately are kind of cancers in your life. Those are people that are going to drag you down. So be careful about spending too much time with those types of people. You want to be around people that when you leave them, you're happy, you're excited, you're ready to move forward, and you look forward to meeting and seeing them again. Those are the types of people you want to build those relationships with. And hopefully you're one of those people when you leave that people say, boy, I want to talk to him again or her again, because they're so much fun to be around. They're so positive and all that kind of stuff. So be that person and look for those people. That would be my suggestion. So anyway, I appreciate Joe Hill again being on the show. If you are in the Twin Cities, check Joe's gym out and call him up. If you need any flooring service, great person to connect with. Like I said, high energy, high octane. I am Todd Dexheimer, and we are signing out. I appreciate you taking the time with me. Remember, make every day a Saturday. Please go on to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this, and give us a 5-star rating review. And go on to Facebook or LinkedIn, any Twitter, whatever your social networks are, and share us out. I'd love to grow this show. Get us out to your friends. Let them know that you're listening, and help us spread the word. That would be fantastic. The more listens, the more likes we can get, the faster we can spread the word. And I want this to positively affect as many people as we can possibly get to. So with your help, we can make it happen. I appreciate the subscription if you're subscribing, and have a fantastic day. Want to learn more about real estate investing? Tune in to the best real estate investing advice ever with Joe Fairless. Joe has the longest daily running podcast on iTunes, well over 1,000 episodes. You can listen to me on Joe's podcast, episode 1015, where Joe interviews me and asks me about my best real estate investing advice. Joe has interviewed fantastic guests such as Emmett Smith, Robert Kiyosaki, Barbara Corcoran, all kinds of fantastic guests. Make sure that you go on to Joe's podcast, subscribe, give him a 5-star rating and review. You do not want to miss out on a fantastic podcast, the best real estate investing advice ever with Joe Fairless.